This evening, we're going to be dealing with the message, Grace Be With You. Grace Be With You. And we're going to read in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. And then I'm going to go over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Colossians 4, verses 14 through 18. And then I'm going to turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, beginning of verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his hosts. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. And then turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 2. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. And I pray at this time that you'd allow the word of God to work in our hearts and do that work which it only can do. And I pray that we would receive this grace and we'd listen to the words of truth, the words of God. Lord, I thank you for all you have done in my life. I thank you for what you've been doing in the lives of others. Lord, I just pray at this time, Lord, for anyone who is here, maybe there's someone in our midst who is struggling. Lord, they're not learning to lean on the grace of God. I pray you'd help them this evening. Lord, I also pray if there's someone watching or even someone in our midst who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. I pray this would be the night that occurs. I pray as well that you give me the words and the wisdom to preach thus saith the Lord and give me the boldness to preach as I ought to preach. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning and the ending of Colossians, the Bible says the following, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Colossians 1:1, again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a common thing found in the scriptures and the writing of epistles, and that is grace be unto you. And each and every one of us needs grace in our lives. We need the grace that only God can give. That grace is what has saved us, and that grace is also what will enable us to live the Christian life. We can't do it in our own strength. Many times we fail, we falter, and we lose focus. We lose focus and understanding of the grace of God, who it is that we serve, and what he has done for us. The Christian life is a life of grace. It is by grace you are saved, and it is by the grace you will live the Christian life. It is only made possible by depending upon God, not ourselves, in all aspects of the Christian life. And grace is really, that's what it comes down to, it is depending upon God. God is the one who does the work. We're allowing him, we're receiving of that grace when we allow him to do the work through us, to do what he wants to do in our lives. We must always understand that in order for us to be the Christian that God wants us to be, we need grace. Victory is found in our life as Christians when we understand that he is our all in all. You can't do it without his help. You can't live it without his help. You can't be what you ought to be without his help. God is all in all. He's what we need in everything, in all our decisions. It needs to be based upon what does God say. It needs to be based upon the grace of God. This evening, we're going to look at the definition of grace, salvation by grace, and living by grace. Let us first look at definition by grace. The definition of grace, excuse me. Definition of grace. To give grace to someone is to give them undeserved kindness, love, and mercy. In fact, when they deserve vengeance and punishment. It's to give someone what they don't deserve. And we find this biblical definition found in the book of Ephesians. Turn there, if you would. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. A very familiar passage of Scripture. Ephesians, chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse number 1. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We do not deserve grace, and this passage of Scripture shows us what grace is. The Bible says, even when we were by nature children of wrath as others, even when we knew not God, even when we lived in rebellion towards God, instead of receiving the punishment that we deserved, God showed us grace. And he showed us grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the definition of grace. God could have chose to make it so that when we chose to rebel, when we choose to live in sin and enjoy sin, that he made no way of escape. But instead, God gave us grace. And this grace is far more than just eternal life. The Bible says in the ages to come, we're going to experience this grace. There are things that we have not yet seen. There are things that we will experience that we have not yet experienced. And it's going to be because of the grace of God. We do not deserve it. We don't. And that is what grace is. We don't deserve grace. It is freely given to us of God. It is what has been given to us even though we did not deserve it. And this passage of Scripture we learn about salvation is by grace, which brings me to my next point, salvation by grace. Salvation by grace. Truly, in order to understand what grace is, you first need to experience the grace of salvation. When you learn what God has done for you, how he loved you, how he died on the cross for your sins so that you could have eternal life, when you learn, even though you didn't want anything to do with God, but yet He drew you to himself. He made a way so that you could hear the good news that Jesus loved you. He died on the cross for your sins. You learn about what he has done in your life. You'll understand that salvation is by grace. The Bible says, again, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There is no boasting in heaven. There will be no boasting because everyone and anyone who has entered into heaven's gates will be there because of grace. It will not be because of what they have accomplished. It will not be because of what they have done. It will be because they understand, they simply understood this, it was what Jesus did for them. This is what will get you into heaven. It's not by being a really good person. It's not by obeying the commandments of the law. It is only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only because you understood what he did for you at Calvary and you bowed the knee and you said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." You asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to save you from your sins. That is what gets you into heaven. It is the grace of God. It's undeserved. It is a gift. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves." It is a gift of God. And that's why there is no boasting. It's a gift for all. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Turn your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 3, as we learn about this grace, salvation by grace. John chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. John chapter 3, and verse 16, I'll read the verse 16 and following. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is God's grace. He sent his Son to save and not to execute judgment. He sent his Son to save you." I'll continue reading. The Bible says in John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and there they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those who reject God's Son, we are rejecting the grace of God. We think about God and what he's done for us. He did not send his Son to this world to condemn it. He sent his Son to save it. We think about the world in which we live in, and the reason why there are not more people saved. It's not because the grace of God cannot save them. It's because they choose to reject the grace of God. This great salvation is freely offered to all. And only those who choose not to receive it do not taste of the grace of God. Without grace, there would be no hope. As we think about this grace and salvation, without the grace, there would be no hope. There would be no salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:13 and following. Turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll read beginning at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, as so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We think about this grace, the grace and salvation. The Bible says, in Christ, all will be made alive. In Christ, all will be made alive. This grace is found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is found in the one that gives us eternal life. And it comes through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, all are made alive. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 12 and following, you don't have to turn there, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them to believe that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Salvation by grace. Grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this grace we find in what He did for us at Calvary. We did not deserve it, but yet God showed His love by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. The Holy Spirit now draws men unto Him so that they can taste of that grace of God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. The salvation that we have is because of the grace of God, which enables us to live by the grace of God. As we think about grace, it begins with salvation. You can't live the Christian life unless you've tasted of the grace of God through salvation, which brings me to my next point, living by grace. Living by grace. We know that we're saved by grace, but as Christians, sometimes we forget we also live by grace. And that really means is that we're not doing it in our own strength. There's no boasting. You think about salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not in all yourself. This is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, in the Christian life, living the Christian life, there's no boasting as well. It is only by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not some supernatural or super being that can do anything. It's what Christ does in and through me that makes a difference. I am no different than any other man. We're all people of flesh. We're all sinners. We all do that which is wrong. We're all human beings. But the grace of God makes a big difference in anyone's life. It enables us to be who we ought to be. The Bible says the following, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned o'er the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The grace of God enables us to live the Christian life. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible speaks of those who fail the grace of God. What does it mean to fail the grace of God when it comes to living by grace? Really, to fail the grace of God is to not allow God to be working in your life. And you choose a life you'd rather live on your own, living in sin. Do you say, is that possible for the Christian to reject God's grace, reject God's work in their life? Yes, it is. It is. And it's possible because they make a choice. Instead of allowing God to work in and through them, instead of allowing God to take control in their life, they choose to not submit to Him and His will. I came across a quote when it came while studying that dealt with this, and I'll read it. The quote says, "Today I want to look at the aspect of grace that is missing. Grace is God giving us the ability to do right. When God gives grace, He enables us to do right. It is impossible to live the Christian life without the grace of God. In a sense, the grace of God is a higher calling. The Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We are dead, unregenerate, alienated from God's state, had no hope of keeping the law. The law could not save us. All it did was break us and show us how far fallen we are from God's standard. But Jesus fulfilled the law, and when we are born again, Jesus comes to live inside us through the Spirit while He is seated at the right hand of the Father, giving us access to the heavenlies. Hence, we are already seated in heaven, and our conversation is in heaven already." I read that quote just to simplify it, to help you understand that in Jesus, we have the grace to live the Christian life. In Jesus, we have the ability to go much further than we have ever been before. In Jesus, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In Jesus, we can be different. We can be like Him. We may all sin. We may be all falter. We may all come short. But God's grace changes our life. It enables us to get back up again. Bible says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked fall into mischief." God's grace is what enables us to live the Christian life. God's grace is what enables us to get back up again. It's God's grace that does that work. God's grace not only saves, but it sanctifies. It enables us to be holy, for He is holy. God is the one who is changing you right now. The Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He with has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." When you got saved, He not only saved you to life eternal, but He began to do a good work in you. And He continues to do that work, and it's because of grace that you're changing. God is working in your life. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you word, and that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The grace given. What grace has God given you in your life? Well, Paul said, "I was the least of all saints. I wasn't worthy to do anything. But yet, God in His grace, He saw fit that I should preach the gospel unto the Gentiles." What a privilege. That is the grace of God. God's grace that saved you also gives a work for all to do. You say, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Preach the gospel. It's one of the greatest gifts that you have, the ability to share what Jesus has done for you in your life. Not only that, but even within the body of believers, God has placed each and every individual who's a body within the body of a church and given them a special thing to do. And that is because of the grace of God. To rely on God's grace is to realize that without Him you can do nothing, but yet He enables you to do something. Without Him you can do nothing, but yet He enables you to do something. Each and every one of us has been enabled of God to do something by His grace. And if you want God's grace to be real in your life, you need to allow that grace to take hold. You need to do that work that God has given you to do. And you'll see that the grace of God is real. If you're not submitting to the Spirit when you ought to, and you're not obeying to the Word of God, then you're going to fail that grace that God wants to do in your life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and following, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 4, 14 and following, I'm going to read again. The Bible says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis at the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. This salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. We all need God's grace. We all need God's help in our lives. We can never be who we ought to be without the grace of God. We'll never be where we ought to be without the grace of God. We need to learn not to lean on our own strength. We need to stop trying to figure out things on our own. We need to learn to start realizing that God knows best. God's ways are perfect. Submit to Him and see what God will do in His grace in your life. Of God's grace, we are undeserving, but yet He saved us. If you're saved today, you know this, you understand this. Not only did He save us, but He gave us a privilege to preach the gospel. That is the grace of God. He gave us a work to do. We have a place as a part of the body of Christ in the church. It is by God's grace we live and breathe. It is by God's grace we're able to do what we do. It's by God's grace we're able to work. It's by God's grace we're able to be the husband and wife that we ought to be. It is by God's grace. It's by God working in us that things change. That is God's grace. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 and following. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read verses 1 and following. The Bible says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You want grace in your life? Grace is depending upon God. Grace is understanding. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter what you can do. It doesn't matter what God has given to you. It's only because of the grace of God you're able to do what you do. It's allowing God to work in your life. True strength, it's not your own strength, it's God's strength. It's God's strength. This is the grace of God. It's learning to lean upon Jesus and not on ourselves. It's learning not to depend upon ourselves for anything, but on Him for everything. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When you're weak, you depend upon God. And when you depend upon God, God's grace will be real in your life. God will help you. God will take care of you by His grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I pray you help each and every one of us to learn to lean upon this grace.